Well, greetings and salutations, one and all, to Career Retrospectives right here on the Super Review Show Network. I am joined by my two incredible friends, Kyle and Mike. What's going on, guys?
Hey.
Yo, what's up?
Who's ready for a road trip, shall we? Let's do it. No, as the title of our podcast suggests, alludes to, last week after Kyle had his pick on the wheel of Boston's corporate America, it landed on my pick, which was Bon Jovi's Lost Highway, a unique album, needless to say, from his catalog. A Bon Jovi album that meets Nashville, if you will. So we're gonna dive right into it, shall we, as we always do here. Let me just present this really quick for those who watch this live. Good for you. Tune in as always. But this album, it's funny. Like this, where were you? Hold on. I lost it. There we go. Sorry about that. Technical difficulties. It's funny. So when most people say Bon Jovi, they typically think of like 80s Bon Jovi. They typically think of like Bon Jovi from like, you know, hair metal Bon Jovi or hard rock Bon Jovi, or depending on who you talk to, it might actually include like this album here. This is following the success of Who Says You Can't Go Home in 2005, which is now 20 years ago. Crazy. Bon Jovi decided, hey, you know, John has never been one to follow success. But needless to say, though, he kind of saw, hey, I had a number one hit on the country charts with the collaboration with Jennifer Nettles for Who Says You Can't Go Home. And then he said, I like what I heard there. Let's go to Nashville and do a Nashville Sessions Bon Jovi album. And it came up with this album here with Lost Highway. And I, you know, it's funny. I put it on the wheel because I do like a bunch of songs off of it. But does it hold up in the year 2025? I'd say the production does. I mean, it sounds very modern. It sounds very strong, in my opinion. But do all the songs hold up? That's a bit TBD at the moment. I do enjoy a lot of the songs on this record, which I'll get into in a second. There are some songs that don't hold up as much as I remember them when the album first came out in 2007. But needless to say, though, I'm going to get right into it, shall I, with my little background here with the track listing and stuff like that. But yeah, this is jumping over to the track listing for a second, this is actually his second album produced by John Shanks. John Shanks has been his producer now since 2005's Have a Nice Day. That's why his production is like varied from album to album for the most part. But since 2005, his producer is a guy by the name of John Shanks, who's a very – I like the production on a lot of his records from the early 2000s and early 2010s as well, on a lot of his records, truthfully. But jumping right into Lost Highway, this should come as no surprise. This is a 10. Actually, it's not a 10 out of 10. I'm going to surprise both of you for a second. Lost Highway, the title track, is actually not a 10 out of 10 for me. I love the track. Fun fact, I actually played this song as the first song on my road trip when I did in 2021, when I went across the country for 10 days. This is the very first song I played, which makes sense. It's a Lost Highway. Without going into each song, I just want to preface with what I'm saying by this. A lot of the songs, in lyrically speaking, create a lot of heavy imagery and heavy images of different style parts of each song, like Lost Highway, like the visual of, you know, in my rearview mirror, my life is getting clearer. Like it's depicting, you know, going on a road trip across the country, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. And I love his writing has evolved from not just You Can Live a Bad Name or Living on a Prayer or Lay Your Hands on Me or Bad Medicine. It evolved over time. And I love the evolution up until this point of his, truthfully, on this record specifically too. His lyric writing is very strong and it shows you how he changed over time, which I applaud. So without going track by track by saying that, just want to preface by saying that too. But Lost Highway, 9 out of 10. One of my favorite Bon Jovi tracks from the 2000s, 2010s in general. Just a great song. When I saw them live in 2018, he played the song live. It was great. Love it. 9 out of 10. Summertime, a very underrated track, needless to say. This song was, I did a little bit of research on it too. It's not that popular on Spotify. Unexpected it would be, but it was only released in Canada as a single, but I'm surprised that more people have not gravitated towards this one song. This is another 9 out of 10 for me. Summertime, I actually, when I first heard the song, it was not by listening to this album. I had my regular summer playlist on shuffle, in the car back in like April or May of 2022, 2023 maybe. And I had it on, and the shuffle came on, and I was like, oh my God, it's that new Bon Jovi song that I added. I forgot all about it. Summertime, great track. It really depicts, again, heavy imagery of just sitting by the beach and the wine, having a little wine. You know, you're on, I love the imagery he creates in the song. Summertime, 9 out of 10. You Want to Make a Memory? I didn't realize that this was the lead single from their album. I actually thought it would be like the Lost Highway title track or We Got It Going On or a Whole Lot of Leaving, truthfully. But I didn't realize this was the first track, the single that got released. But no, a really nice ballad that he put together here with a collaboration from Desmond Child. For those of you who know the history of Desmond Child a little bit, Desmond Child was a guy who actually, he co-wrote Living on a Prayer. He co-wrote You Give Love a Bad Name. A bunch of Bon Jovi tracks from the 80s and 90s he co-wrote. He also co-wrote like so many other big hits too. Like even today, he co-wrote I Always Made for Loving You by Kiss. If you're not familiar with Desmond Child's work and his collaborations, it's insane. He makes hit records to a T, and he produced this. He actually co-wrote this with John and Richie, and it was a really beautiful track. Another 9 out of 10 for me right there. You Want to Make a Memory. Again, with sticking with heavy imagery and whatnot, a whole lot of leaving. I really like the guitar in here. I like the country style of this song in particular. Great song. When I did see him live, this was one of the songs he played on live, and it went over live really well. This another, but it's 7.5. It could go up to 8 out of 10 given on the day, but I do like it a lot. So right now I'm leaning at a 7.5 for that one. We Got It Going On featuring Big and Rich. I didn't realize that Big and Rich was featured, because if you go on Spotify, it doesn't actually say featuring Big and Rich. It just says We Got It Going On. But in the middle of the song, it just says, and now for my country cousin, Big Kenny, talk to the people. He actually says it in the middle of the song, which was pretty crazy. I liked it. Big stadium anthem song, kind of a country rock song to a T. And it's very, I love it a lot. I listened to it while I said another 8 out of 10, truthfully. And it just shows you the talk boxes back in there too, from like the It's My Life days of Living on a Prayer days. It's back in the song too. Really a nice rocking song, a country rock song, if you will, which is great. And this is, believe it or not, guys, this is where we took a little bit of a step down. I'm going to kind of cluster the next three together, because Any Other Day, Seat Next to You, and Everybody's Broken are all, to me personally, sixes out of tens, all three, because I just kind of clump them together. Because it's one thing I've noticed listening to this album before we did our show was that this album to me is very front loaded, except for a couple tracks towards the end. But this one, Any Other Day, Seat Next to You, and Everybody's Broken are all six out of tens. They didn't hold up as much as the first five did, and as much as I'll get to the next couple of tracks that I want to mention in a second. But yeah, they're kind of forgettable, not really there. They're good, but they're not as memorable as the first five tracks, or as I'm going to mention in a second, Till We Ain't Strangers Anymore with Leon Rimes. This is actually a really nice song that I like them. I like their collaboration here. It's actually really a nice collaboration. They actually did another collaboration too. With Jennifer Nettles. I like this. I like Till We Ain't Strangers Anymore is about a 7.5 out of 10 for this one. Nothing too crazy. It's a good track. It's a good country track for the most part. I do like it a lot though. It's 7.5, nothing too crazy. Then we go into The Last Night and One Step Closer. These are both at like sixes for me. They're not bad. They're just not as memorable as I thought they were going to be. Just for whatever reason, it just like didn't hold up a candle as much as the first part of the record did. And they're good, but they're not great. And then the last one on this album is actually, I love this 10. This is just a fun track. I'm going to give an 8 out of 10 for this one. It's just a fun track overall, about how, you know, it's kind of a nice little ending to a really what I think is a solid like country rock album to an extent. And I really wish that more people would discover this kind of like country, because when people think of country music, they think of like Luke Bryan or Luke Combs or people like that. I really wish that more people would discover this type of like Bon Jovi-esque country album that I think is great. But I love this 10. I like the lyrics in it. It's a very fun, upbeat song. Overall, I think I've been 8 out of 10 for that one. So overall, I mean, Needless to say, though, Bon Jovi, you know, it's funny. In the 2010, in the late 2000s, leading to like 2008, 2009, 2009 was the Circle album, which I thought was actually a really solid album too, but the return to rock, more like adult contemporary rock, though, not necessarily like hard rock. This is the overall, this album is, I like it a lot. I do remember it more as I listened to it. I remember like when it first came out, I was like excited or whatever. And some of the tracks really held up for me. Like I go back to the first five and tracks and Till We Ain't Strangers Anymore. And I love this town a lot more than I thought I did initially. But outside of that, those six or seven tracks, the rest of the album kind of falls a little, not necessarily flat, but it's not as memorable as the other tracks on there personally. That's just me personally saying that. But needless to say, I still enjoyed it overall. There's a reason why I chose this album too for you guys too. I don't know if you guys knew about this. I wanted to pick an album by a rock artist that shows an evolution in his career. And I'm very curious to see what they have to say about this too in a second, with either Mike or Kyle, but or either one of them say. Because when people think of Bon Jovi, they typically go to Living on a Prayer or You Give a Bad Name. They might go to Bad Medicine. They might go to I'll Be There for You. They go to his 80s or Runaway. They don't really go to his 2000s or 2010s, even now in his 2020s songs either. But I think this just shows you how the band can a band can start at a certain point in their career and evolve over time. And this is just one of one of the stops on their catalog, if you will. And I really liked how John and Richie did a good collaboration here, and they put together a solid record overall for us to listen to. Now it's 2025, and it's a really solid record overall. So I'm sitting at like a 7.75. I could go up to an 8 because I can't go up to an 8 only because the lesser tracks that are kind of forgettable are not that memorable to as We Got It Going On or Whole Lot of Leaving or Lost Highway or Till We Ain't Strangers. They don't hold up the rest of the album in that aspect. And on top of that, it is very front loaded. Like there was only 12 songs on this record, and it is very front loaded in general. So the first half of the record is very strong, but the second half is like, you know. But it's needless to say, I loved what I heard. I really enjoyed it. I go back to it more than I thought I did. So 7.75 could go up to an 8 out of 10 personally. Mike, I wonder if Mike is gonna have any talk about this whatsoever. What do you got, buddy?
So now I wanna preface my review as when I come to Bon Jovi, I come in for a couple different things. I come for a vocal prowess, like a vocal delivery and power. I come for some rockin' tunes. I come for good songwriting. Like everything else, in my opinion, are things that like take care of themselves. So, and I want to make sure the people listening know that this is my opinion. This is not a review that I'm doing to just break down the elements of the album that you all know and can hear. I want to let you know what my opinion is about what the direction of this album is and the pros and cons. So we'll start with that. Pros: it's got good production, it's got some memorable songs, but while it's not my style, I can't be an expert in rating this album. I can feel that they would be fun to listen to live. It's definitely got some varied energy from slow to fast. It does some good things there. It's all over the place with different kinds of samplings of different. It almost feels like you're on a road trip. Like, okay, here we are now. You got some the typical stuff that he's been doing as of late, the contemporary rock feel. It's got the harder, like, almost Metallica-esque ripoff of Enter Sandman's riff. It's got like I Love Rock and Roll Joan Jett feels. It's got a little bit everything all over the place, and it almost feels like a man going down memory lane. And here I am on this lost highway, like, who am I? So that's, there's some of that element going on. And then while the cons, it feels, while all of those things are present, it all feels a little diluted. It feels a little bit watered down in respect to what it's willing to double down on. It feels like it graces the surface of those kind of things to deliver a very kind of subdued version. We all know he can't sing as good as he used to. We know that the delivery is not there, the upper register is not there, and it's very apparent. And even you listen to some of the albums even previous to this, you can see like almost like every album he puts himself in less and less opportunity to hit that place. I'm not going to go song by song on this because they're all five or six for me personally. Nothing horribly bad, but also nothing that's really going to take a risk or any, it's going to wow you. There's, you know, just a couple areas in here. I'll tell you what my standout track is. My standout track was number eight, was the, Everyone's Broken. It's actually one of my favorite songs on the album. I like that chorus. I like the message. I like that it kind of sticks to that standard light rock. It doesn't kind of delve into the heavier country-esque type of tune, like, you know, Till We Ain't Strangers or Whole Lot of Leaving, or, you know, one of these other kinds of tracks that really goes heavy into the country side. What I do appreciate about this album is it doesn't do the typical country, like we're going to glorify the country life that we're living, when most of these country artists out here aren't actually living a country life. They're just talking about it to gain clout within the country community. Bon Jovi has no interest in that. He's just talking about life as he usually does. So across the board, it's all pretty, you know, it all pretty much plays out like you expect it to. Nothing on here is blaringly, it doesn't sound bad or anything, but it's a little safe for me. It's kind of nestled into that part of Bon Jovi's catalog where he continues to kind of deliver this more subdued versions of the different styles as he's traveled throughout his career. Just as I see it, pretty much for me, it was a straight 5.5. Could be a 6 as time goes by, but re-listens and stuff like that. It's a fun album to listen to while you're driving. It feels like an album made for driving that you can kind of listen to, and you get, you know, a couple different feels of different songs as you go through it. But for what I look for in an album, I prefer something that really chooses the direction it really wants to fully deliver on and delivers, whereas this feels more kind of doing a very rendition of different styles that he's kind of been involved with, but without achieving the level that I was really looking for. So yeah, so 5.5 out of 10 for me.
All right, you heard it first. That's from Mike, of course, and Kyle. We did Luke Bryan. I'm very curious to hear what Kyle has to say about this one, though. What do you got, bud?
What I love about doing this show is we really get to see how people can view an album so differently. Mike, you took one of the words right from my mouth with safe on this album. This is a incredibly safe and at times sterile record. There's nothing on here that blows me away, but there are points on it that astound are. A majority of this, as Mike said, is very safe, middle of the road. It took the aspects of 2000s bland radio rock, bland safe radio rock, and mixed it with the bland safe 2000s country that was going on at the time, and mixed those together, but only kept the bland parts. Bon Jovi's not a country artist. I don't think he excels in the genre. But with that said, I'll go track by track. As someone that likes, you know, does like country, I was interested to hear what this was going to be. You know, we talked about his latest album last year, and I did not like that one at all. That was more kind of like singer-songwriter style. So I was curious to see what he would do with this. And Lost Highway, I mean, this one's a 7 for me. This is one of the better tracks of the record. This actually grew on me. I wasn't that big a fan at first of this. But it's a pretty standard radio country song, but I mean, it has a chorus. I mean, this was really like made for driving too. Like, this is a song that you can just put on while you're driving down the highway, and it's great. It serves its purpose very well. One of the things with this song and a couple others on here that I'll get into as I go, but I could see this working even better with his typical like arena rock, hard rock sound from decades prior. As is, though, it's a fine country rock song, and it immediately takes a step down for me with Summertime. This is a 4. It sounds just like so stock, like such background music. This is just not what I come to Bon Jovi for. Like Mike said, when I come to Bon Jovi, I want to hear, I myself come for those songs that JT was talking about earlier, those 80s songs, that are arena rock sound, that hard rock style with these like soaring choruses, these massive tunes that you want to hear like in an arena setting. And I just don't get that from a lot of this album. But this song just feels really sloppy. The chorus feels sloppy. And I rarely say this, but the tempo on this just felt like too fast. Like it needed to be taken down a bit. Like they were just trying to fit so much in this 3 minutes, and they were just like, go, 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 go. And it just didn't work. And then we get to the worst song on the album and one of my least favorite Bon Jovi songs I've heard, with You Want to Make a Memory. This was just a boring chore to get through for me. It's just straight like adult contemporary rock style. It just doesn't work for me. Really don't like it. I don't think his voice sounds that great on it. It's corny. It's uninteresting throughout. It's overly simple and very cookie cutter. Just not what I would come to expect from a Bon Jovi track. Really did not like. It's an instant skip for me every time. Whole Lot of Leaving, it's a 4. It's another cookie cutter song. There's just no edge here. Just like I said, takes those radio rock and radio country and just takes the most palatable aspects of both genres and just waters it down into a bland, almost like lifeless track at times. Also, just for what it is, it's too long. We Got It Going On. This was one that was probably, it's not my least favorite song on the album by any stretch. It's still a 4, but I will give it the credit of being the biggest letdown on the album so far. You know, when you hear the song kick in, it's like the return, like the talk box, and it sounds like it's going to be more of what you would expect from Bon Jovi, but it just ends up being this song that's just really repetitive and just really like uneventful, unfortunately. The chorus also just really drops the ball, where it has this buildup that seems like, all right, here we go. It's going to be this like big chorus, but then it just drops the momentum for a very low energy and dragging chorus. The part with Big and Rich is also just strange. Didn't really care for that.
But Kyle, does that not remind you of Metallica's Enter Sandman riff? And then like the intro to like a Monday Night Football, you know, like I swear to you, when I heard this, I heard it was sounded like someone listened to Metallica. I was like, all right, let's do a real kind of like similar.
How can we get the NFL to pick us up as their from commercial song is what this sounds like.
Yeah, definitely.
Just really wasted potential on that track. Any other day, though, you know what? This picks it up for me. This is a 7. I actually enjoy the song. It's a fine song, decent chorus, nothing too special. But it's one of the more memorable songs for me. It does still fall into the trap of being pretty standard. I do like the lead guitar parts on this one. The solo sounds really good here. But again, I would love to see this one. And if quite a few songs on here, actually, Mike, you're always one talking about like, oh, I'd love to hear someone remake this with a different singer or different, you know, whatever. I would love to hear someone remake this album with their 80s arena rock style, because I think there are quite a few songs on here that could really benefit from that and could fit right in with that sound lyrically and just thematically. This one I could see doing pretty well on that. But then we go right back down, another 4, Seat Next to You. It's just another slow country-influenced ballad. And just, again, speaking as someone that generally enjoys country, he just doesn't do it that well, in my opinion, especially not the slower tracks. Not a fan of the slow, drawn-out vocal phrases on this that just make the song feel a lot more dragged out and long than it actually is. And, Mike, you know, me and you have to disagree. Everybody's Broken was a 3 for me. It's just, I got another ballad, and it's so funny because even down to lyrical content, Mike, me and you can't agree on anything, because I thought these were the worst lyrics of the album. The chorus of "It's okay to be a little broken, everybody's broken." Love the message. Agree with you on that. I hate when it's so like heavy-handed that way, though. It just, it's, and the songwriting on this one sounds like a local high school band, especially with those build-up hits in the second verse. It just doesn't work for me. The guitar solo, it's standard and fine, but was it really needed here? Probably not. But then we got to the Till We Ain't Strangers Anymore with Leanne Rimes. At this point in the album, my note that I wrote down in all caps was stop with the ballads or space them out more. Because this whole like middle of the album has essentially just been just ballad after ballad after mid-tempo song. But I actually enjoy this song. It's one of my favorites on the album. The melodies on this are actually really nice. The harmonies between John and Leanne Rimes are really good. The guitar solo is very emotionally well done. Really nice song. I actually enjoyed this one quite a bit. 7 out of 10. And then The Last Night, it's a 5. Takes another step back down to the same old from this album. Nothing standout or memorable about this. Too repetitive. Even feels like filler on an album like this. One Step Closer. All the same comments, but multiplied by more. This is a 3 for me. I'm just really not a fan of the harmonies on this one. And the guitars I actually found in this to have like an annoying quality to them that just really did not hit the ear, right?
And I was actually hoping that was a Linkin Park cover, you know, maybe like done in country style. I actually probably would have signed up for that, like hardcore.
I would have preferred that than what we got. But the album, it does end pretty well on I Love This Town. It's a 7. It's a step up. It's still not perfect, but it's nothing necessarily bad. I enjoy this song. It's very fun. It is very repetitive. Didn't need to be 4.5 minutes. Again, just like the opening track, this is a great driving song. It serves its purpose well. Overall, this album sits at a 4.5 for me. It's really hit or miss, where it has some good songs, mostly mid-tier songs, and then a couple songs that are just not good. You know, Bon Jovi at 2007, at that point in his career, he'd already, if we're going to be honest, he's already essentially a legacy act at that point as well, even, you know, less than he is now. But I mean, he was still able to write some good songs on this. Do I think he should ever really delve into country again? No, I would say for me, not. At this point, I don't think we'll get too much more from him with how his voice is going, and that last album was not great. But you know what? Also, what is it with these Asbury Park guys thinking they can just go country for a while? They're not from New Jersey. Springsteen, we did. What was that album that we did?
Western Stars. Yes, yes,
that one. Yep. And now Bon Jovi, we're doing
in Nashville.
So it's, I don't know, stick to New Jersey. I don't know, not country, but yeah, 4.5 for me.
All right, you heard it here first, ladies and gents, children of all ages. That's our ratings. That's our show. Any other concluding thoughts, guys? There's no new albums coming out, right?
Nope.
One sec. Let's spin the wheel, shall we? Hold on a sec. Can you share? Right.
Yep.
Okay. Excuse me. There we go. Yeah, to the stage. All right, K-Man, what do you got? Here we go. Oh, my God.
Yo. I'm going to have everything on the wheel by the time we're done.
Yes, Mike's going to have everything on the wheel. So, needless to say, though, this landed on my pick. The Who. Who is next from 1971?
No, I ain't next. No, man. I'm just here.
Mike is not next. This is, I think, I don't know. I'm curious. We'll have to wait till next week, of course. But this is a very interesting album. Needless to say. It has like 2 or 3 really big hits on it. But I just, the deep tracks are, we'll get to it next week. Anyways, but yes, next week's album is The Who's Next from 1971. We just spun the wheel and there you go. So this should be very, I'm curious to what you guys have to say about this one too. But anyways, that's our show for tonight. Thanks so much for watching, listening, however you enjoyed us. Hopefully you tuned into our show as always. If you like what you've seen or heard here, subscribe to us on YouTube and follow us on podcast format as well. We're on Apple and Spotify already. Kyle, Q&A podcast is not back yet, correct?
Nope, not yet.
Okay. I was not sure about that. But anyways, yeah, that's going to do it for us, guys. Thanks so much for watching our show. I want to thank Kyle Mack for doing this show with me as always. And but for all of us here at the Super View Show's Career Retrospectives, stay safe, take care, and be awesome.
God bless.
And God bless.